Morning, we're going to look at Psalm 1. And I remember as a kid having to sit still and memorize this psalm during family devotions. Torture is a strong word. Not learning scripture, but sitting still long enough to memorize as a family. You know, it takes some time. And some of you have good memories like that. But I'm so grateful. I am so grateful that I had opportunity as a kid to have the Word of God implanted in my heart and my mind. And that is something that all of us need to continue to do, to expose ourselves to the Word of God, not just in a gathering like this, because this hopefully is quite a small percentage of the input of the Word of God into your life. I really trust and hope that each one of us cultivate that, the time in the Word of God on our own. We must for spiritual sustenance, for spiritual life, for ongoing growth in our walk with Christ. So, and that's a discipline to learn, isn't it? We're all growing in that. And if you want somebody to interact with and give maybe some ideas and what have you, I'm always more than willing to do that. And there's others, maybe even around your table. You will hear this morning some specific things that you do. You'll hear somebody talk about their own journey in this, in interacting with the Word of God. And when I use that term, how we interact with the Word of God, I use that term because taking the Word of God into my mind and my heart is not just about reading. There's much more, and we'll see in Psalm 1, the word meditate is used. And so when I say interact, it could be study. Certainly it involves memorizing, as Psalm 119 encourages us to do, to memorize the Word of God. So just a brief explanation there. And you are going to do a good part of the talking this morning, and I can just feel the enthusiasm in this room about that right now. Actually, some of you are glad because that means I'm quiet. So, but I really hope you'll open yourselves up to one another around the table and have an enjoyable time this morning. There are notes, the white sheets on your table. If there are not enough, you can come and grab one. I've got extra sheets here. And every table needs a Bible, at least one. Hopefully, in the group, somebody brought their Bible to church. If not, there's Bibles up here on this side as well. So please come once we start the discussion time and grab a Bible at your table. Listen to the Word of God this morning. Actually, let's just ask God to illuminate His truth. And we can learn from one another. We can grow. We can be sharpened. The proverb says, as iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of a friend sharpens another. And I think that can happen this morning. I'm believing that it will happen today. And so let's ask God for that. Father, thank you so much for your word. And we together pray in faith that as we dive into Psalm 1 for a little while this morning, that it would be a rich time in your word. God, have your way. Show us truth that would not just fill our minds, but would change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're really only focusing on the first three verses of this psalm today, and I want to read them. On your sheets there, I think it says, so follow along with me. Blessed is the man who does not, or woman, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Just a little thing here. You notice the progression? Notice the walk, stand, stop, pause, hang with, and then sit down, firmly planted. That's the progression if we go down that path. So, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, God's word, and on his law he meditates all the time, day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. There's a New Testament parallel passage in Romans 12, 1 to 2 that during your table discussion, I hope that you'll read together and take a look at if your discussion heads in that direction. There is just a few intro comments before I turn you loose at your tables. There's a God-designed path that leads to life, that leads to real life, life that is truly life, the life that Jesus came to give us as per his mission statement found where? John 10, 10. He said, I've come to give them life and life to the full. So there's a God-ordained, a God-designed plan that leads to a life that's healthy, that's significant, that is eternal. However, it's contingent on two things, and we see those two things here in Psalm 1. First of all, disassociation with counsel and a lifestyle of the ungodly. That's the path to avoid. And it's contingent on, secondly, association or a path to embrace association with God and his pattern for doing this thing called life. The path to avoid, Psalm 1:1. Listen to the first verse in the New Living paraphrase. It just says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Of the people that don't have the God perspective. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow that path. How many of you remember reading Curious George when you were little? I loved Curious George, maybe because I could identify with him a little bit. But you know why this character is so well-liked? It's because this little monkey simply could not avoid trouble, and we see ourselves there. Sometimes it's easier to find trouble than to avoid it, isn't it? Because it's avoiding that takes the courage and determination and commitment to principles and godly values. And like Curious George, sometimes we don't even need the help of negative influences around us. We can find trouble, it seems, and make bad choices many times on our own. And this is the path that the writer in Psalm 1 says, avoid, avoid. Don't listen to that advice. Don't listen to that counsel that is devoid of God. Now, you may be able to think of situations where you wish you would have avoided someone's counsel or influence. Well, the Bible's caution to those who want to follow God is, again, to steer clear of the counsel that opposes the ways of God or stand in contradiction to God's will, God's purpose, and his perspective on how to live life. You see, God created us. Most of us in this room know this. God created us to walk in close communion with him. But choosing to walk the other path will lead us away from God's best path. And so, you're at your table. I want you to select one person to be the note taker, because I would value reading the discussion at your table. We're obviously not going to have time to share it all in the group. We might, on one of the questions, do some interaction and hear from your table on some of that discussion. So be prepared for that. So select somebody to take notes on your discussion. If you need to find, you know, if you're having a hard time doing that, find the person whose birthday is closest to today. Welcome to facilitating. Okay, so do what you need to do there, and keep at your table. If you can keep your comments fairly brief, because you'll look around the table and you'll divide it by how much time I'll give you. Just keep that in mind, and then if others aren't going to share, then you can obviously add further. But first discussion question, there it is on your sheet. What would some examples, I want you to talk about and give some examples of ungodly advice. What comes to your mind? What is an example, a specific example of ungodly advice or examples of perspective on life that leaves God out completely? I want you to bat that around for 4 or 5 minutes, okay? So go to it. And if you haven't introduced yourselves around the table, make sure you do that first, okay? Okay, 60 seconds. Okay, who wants to share? Real quick, who's got one that they want to? Who's the writer here? Paige? What's one that you guys came up with?
Abortion.
Okay, just go ahead and end that life. It's about convenience. It's about, is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's certainly an ungodly perspective. Another one. What'd you guys get? The youth table. Come on. Here, Janelle.
We said suicide. People who say that, you know, oh, if your life sucks, we'll just end it. Okay. That's bad advice.
Definitely a perspective devoid of God's good purpose and plan, right? Oh, I got to ask my father-in-law. Who's the writer here? Get one?
If it feels good, do it.
Okay, ungodly advice. If it feels good, do it. I mean, there's some things that feel good that we can do no problem, right? Like water ski, stuff like that. Who else? A couple more. I see the hands going up. Dave is smiling. How can you resist Dave's smile?
Do whatever you need to do to get ahead.
Do whatever you need to do to get ahead. A business approach in life that is obviously not the God perspective. Okay, Allie.
Christians can't have nice things.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Good. One. Okay, two more.
Okay, marriage advice, just take the easy way out.
Okay. Definitely. Ungodly advice in our culture. The easiest thing to do is just to splitsville, right?
Create your own luck.
Create your own luck. Okay, devoid of God's perspective in the sense of what would you say? Master of your own destiny. Okay, another way to phrase that. Very good. And as opposed to God being the one who would guide us into his good future for us. Right, good. So really, there's just such a long list that we could make, but we're not going to go any further down that path. But one thing I want to say about this this verse, I think it's noteworthy that this verse is not saying that we should not have friends or endeavor to build relationships with people that do not know Christ and do not share our biblical God view of life, right? Obviously not. Jesus was a model for us when, you know, he was accused actually of being a drunk himself, hanging with the sinners. Well, no, Jesus built relationships with those that did not know Christ and did not share his value system for doing life because he wanted to show them real life. And so we're, as representatives of Christ, must do the same. Obviously, this passage just says, challenges us to not walk in the way of living or adopting their approach to life. So there's definitely a path to avoid. There's a path to avoid. And each one of you probably face that at certain levels in your daily work, maybe in your family. You hear some of this ungodly advice, this ungodly input. We must have the Word of God as our plumb line in all of these things, right? Coming back to the Word of God, always back to the Word of God. Otherwise, there's trouble. Otherwise, there's trouble. So that's what Psalm 101 is saying. Let's move on. The path to embrace. There's a path to avoid, but thank God there's a path to embrace. For the person who wants to know God and grow in God, the essential element of that commitment is a determination to embrace God's priorities in life and priorities that are made clear in the Bible, in the Word of God, in which the psalmist says here he finds delight, actually. He delights in them. And I think it's cyclical between meditating on God's Word, pondering God's Word, focusing on God's Word. There's no delight that will come, I don't think, unless we're doing that. Unless we know the joys and the benefits and the blessings and the support that we can gain from knowing and living the Word of God. This word meditate, for those that may right away think of something like transcendental meditation, Eastern religion, that's not it. This meditation was was put forward by God long before that fake, artificial you know what knockoff was put forward, and really all it, the picture I read once, it kind of stuck with me. Maybe Quentin, you can help me here with cows chewing their cud. I don't know, but it's like a chew. It's bringing it up again, like the cow chews its cud, chewing, just sucking all the nourishment out of what's there, bringing it up, focusing on it again, meditating, pondering, prayerfully thinking on different ways you can phrase that. That's simply what it means to meditate on the truth of God's word. And you can meditate in the morning on one phrase sometimes, and the Spirit of God can influence the decisions that you will make in that day by spending time in the Word of God. And I've done both. You know, there's times when I've decided I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And that's good. That's good. You get an overall view of the whole Word of God. But there's other times where I slow down, and it may only be a paragraph, and I'll journal some thoughts of as I interact with the Word of God. What's the Word of God saying to me in this passage? And then even from there, it might be just one phrase that in that season of my life, in what I'm facing, that phrase becomes an encouragement, a source of strength, and I just focus on that and prayerfully kind of read it over and over and let it settle in my heart and mind. And so that's the idea of meditation on the Word of God. So in this next segment of discussion, I want you to share about a time when your interaction with the Bible, whether it was reading or studying, or it could even be hearing at one point God's word spoken by someone else that really influenced you in a great way, or your own meditation, or if you don't have something to say there, maybe it's a desire that you have, a desire that you want to step into in a greater way of spending time in God's word. And you're maybe in the process right now of establishing that commitment. And maybe around your table, in the hearing of others, that commitment can be solidified. So wherever you're at there. But share a time when your interaction with the Bible was meaningful and helpful experience for you. And there's some other passages. I want you to look at, you'll see Romans 12:2, the last part of that verse is highlighted there. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. That's the avoid in Romans 12:2. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And how does that renewing of our mind come? The role of the Word of God is huge in that. And if our mind is not renewed, our life will not be changed. So that is so crucial. So you may want to look at the last part of verse 2 of Romans 12. And then Psalm 19. I've listed some of the many cool verses, brief, succinct verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 really is just a psalm in praise of the Word of God. If you want to elevate your love for God's Word, I recommend reading and meditating through Psalm 119. I don't care if it takes you the whole year. Do it. It will be, I believe it has been in the past for me, a very, very helpful and encouraging experience. So there's just a few of the verses that I pulled out that I'd like you maybe even to read around your table. Maybe take turns or have someone read and do that. And then dive into this this discussion point about times, just sharing times when interaction with the Word of God has been a helpful or meaningful experience, or the challenge of it. You guys, share the challenge of it with one another. It's real. There's somebody who does not want you to love and interact with or meditate on the Word of God. Satan does not want you to be in that zone of loving God's Word. And he'll throw every curveball he can to keep you from it. So maybe for you, that's talking about some of those challenges. And there might be a word that God would put in the heart of somebody across your table that would be a word of challenge, that would be a word of exhortation, that would be encouragement to you. So feel free, okay? So spend the next 5 or 6 minutes doing that, okay? So monitor your time. Brief expressions, okay?
If there's someone who hasn't shared that wants to, this is your time. How many of you need more time at your table? Okay. I think I was going to write on the whiteboard, but that's a pretty small whiteboard, isn't it? And is there something at your table that you just think that you'd like to share with the whole body that might be encouraging, or a word from your discussion that is noteworthy to highlight? We won't park here. We won't park here long, but just want to throw that out in case there's some comment that you'd want to share. Otherwise, each table you can get to work on your book that you're writing from your discussion. Nothing? Yeah? Okay, Mary Beth. Oh, should I give you? I'm teasing.
I'm going to start to sing the happy birthday song for Wes. Okay. Not yet. Okay, it's really encouraging when you go around the table and see what other people have been through and how they have put their trust in God and how He came through when they have totally put it on the line and just gave it all to God and just total faith and stepped out in faith, and then how God kind of resolved the situation or worked in their lives or how things turned out. And, I mean, it's so encouraging. And it gives other people kind of just that push maybe to do that as well and to say, okay, well, I'm in this situation, so I'm going to just lay it on the line and give it all to God and put my faith in Him and know that He's going to come through. Yeah.
That is a very, very significant comment, because that, as you're talking, I'm going, that's what the body of Christ should be. It's about sharing our life story with one another. And we don't do that enough from what we can learn and the challenge, like you said, the inspiration. I could do that too. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that. Listen as I read, and I think it's on your notes there as well. I love the Message paraphrase of Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, instead means what's gone before. Instead of going down the path of the ungodly, a path to destruction that's founded on selfishness, right? Instead, you thrill to God's word. I love that. You thrill to God's word. God, cultivate that in my heart. I want that thrill for God's word more and more. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. There's that image, right, of meditate. You're a tree planted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. Interesting picture. And then kind of also a parallel in the Old Testament to Psalm 1 is Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree." That's the key. You want to be a solid, growing, roots deep, sucking up nourishment kind of Christian? Well, it starts with trusting in the Lord and placing our trust and confidence in Him for everything we are and everything we will do, right? And He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. How many of us are paralyzed by fear when the heat is on so many times, right? And we're exactly that. We're then paralyzed to move forward spiritually in the situation, to learn what God wants to teach us when the heat is on. All those things are adversely impacted when fear grips our hearts and our minds. Fear, we know, is an amazing tool of the enemy. That's not the best phraseology, but it's a significant weapon in his arsenal, isn't it? That kind of tree, that kind of it does not fear when the heat comes. Jeremiah 17. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails
to bear fruit. We're not going to take time to describe, to discuss this last question, but I just want you to think about right now in your mind of regarding this discussion question number three that says, describe the possibilities for the person who embraces God's word and endeavors to live by it. Some of you, that is your life story, and that's phenomenal. And there's others here who you've had seasons of that, where the word of God is rich and alive, and it's your nourishment, and it's the source of comfort, and it's the source of strength, and it's your source of wisdom, and that's phenomenal. That's what God wants, right? So think about, just for someone who is in that zone, think about the possibilities. Think about living life that way. That doesn't mean life's going to be trouble-free. We all know that, right? The wind is still going to, you know, beat against that tree that is by the stream and has deep roots. The impact will be different, but the tree will still feel the wind and the storm and the push, and it might even bend a little, you know? Bend but not break. I mean, think about the possibilities of loving and living God's word to the full. What could that look like for you? I want you to think about that. What could that look like for you right now in what you're facing in your own life? Living, loving and living God's word to the full. Maybe that's the phrase you need to take from here this morning. God, help me to love and to live your word to the full. And again, that's never going to happen unless you're regularly spending time in the word of God, right? But think about the possibilities. Stable life, spiritually alive kind of life, dynamic life, positive impact on relationships, positive impact on others that God brings your way that are hurting or in pain. And just the possibilities are endless. The tree by the river has much nourishment to be that kind of blessing to others. And on the bottom of your notes there, there's three things. Embracing God's principles. And most of it, I think this has all been said already, but there they are in black ink for you. The bottom of the back side of your notes. Embracing God's principles or God's word is about, first of all, learning them, so spending time. Even for you, if it starts with a 3-minute window of time that you shut out everything else and you ponder God's truth, paragraph at a time, and you select, maybe today, maybe you select Psalm 119. That'll give you a lot of fuel to go on for a while. One psalm a day. How many days will you be doing that? What is it, 176, is it? Is that right? Who knows? I'm actually asking. Because I'm just curious, you know. There's just rich love of God's word. You want to cultivate a love of God's word? I recommend that. So embracing God's principles and God's word is about learning them, is about a choice to love. Love is a choice. We hear that in marriage. We hear that in relate. Why would it be any different in reference to God's word? Yes, God can cultivate this emotion, this love for God's word. But it begins, I believe, with a choice. Love is I choose, God, to love your law, to love your word. Learning them, loving them. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law, and then living them. We can say we love God's word, but again, you know, if we don't live it, if we don't make choices in everyday life about how we act, think, treat others, if our living isn't in line with the loving of God's word we say is in our hearts, then there's a problem, right? There's probably an inaccuracy on the loving side of God's truth. So embracing God's principles, we want to avoid that path. And we want to embrace this path of God's truth. Embracing God's principles is about learning them, loving them, and living them, as James 1:22 says about the word of God. It just basically says, just do what it says. Just Just do what it says. So I leave this challenge with you today that I hope you'll take and begin to implement. If we avoid the path that leads away from God and embrace the path of his principles in our life as outlined in the Bible, friends, we will experience a change in our life. We will experience the rewarding outcomes of a godly life, of a God-centered life. Again, not a trouble-free life, but a life that's stable and grounded and fruitful and, icing on the cake, eternal. Eternal. And so maybe that's something that you need to embrace today. Maybe for you, it's, oh, wow, the Bible is that. The Bible's just not some dry historical document. Well, it's a historical document, but it's not dry. Well, Leviticus is a challenge, I'll admit, but there's life in God's word. And maybe for you that's something new for you to hear this morning. And God has chosen to preserve his good truth about how we can know him in the pages of the Bible. And it has been preserved throughout the centuries for our own spiritual well-being. Because God's big enough to do that. He's big enough to do that. He loves us enough to do that so that we can know and find out how we can know God personally. And maybe you've never made that personal commitment of your life to Christ. What's stopping you today? What's keeping you from surrendering your life to the one who created your life, to the one who loves you more than anybody ever could? What's keeping you from doing that? Is there really anything that's worth your eternal soul, to put it real straight? Is there really anything in this temporal world that's worth your eternal soul? What's keeping you from responding to Christ's free gift of salvation today? I want to pray for you. And in this moment, you can, in your own heart, just say, God, I want you in my life. I confess my sin. Forgive me. Begin to lead my life, God. I want to love you and serve you and experience your truth in relationship and experience your word in relationship with you. But also for Christians this morning, I want to pray for you. But first let me pray for those who might be in this spiritual decision point. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, to take upon yourself the penalty of my sin so that I could live free and eternal with you. Thank you, God, for that. Jesus, thank you that you came willingly as my substitute. May I serve you and love you. I receive your forgiveness and your gift of salvation simply by faith in this moment, in this instant. Thank you for making me your child for all eternity, God. I want to walk with you. I want to grow in you. I want to put my roots down relationally with you, God. Help me to do that. In Jesus' name. If you prayed a prayer, something like that, God has heard you, my friend. Begin to tell somebody. Tell somebody after this service is done. In closing, I want to have a moment of commitment pertaining to the things that we've talked about today. And I want to close in a time of prayer that together as a body will be just open and transparent. And I want those of you that would commit to go God's path. Maybe there's a decision you've been waffling on of some kind, and you recognize what God's direction is, and you want to go that direction. I'd want you to stand to your feet. And I want to make this an opportunity for you to just declare publicly that you want to go God's direction in terms of his word and what his word says to a particular situation in your life. And or you just have a desire, a deep desire, a sincere desire in your heart to grow in your love for God's word and your follow through of God's word. And in the gathering. Obviously, this is a commitment you're not making to anyone here. I mean, yet it kind of is, because there's accountability in the body, right? And maybe there's someone around your table that you would say, I want you to hold me accountable on this. But first and foremost, you're making it a commitment to God this morning. And I would just love the opportunity to stand with you in prayer as we close today. So you're saying, I wanna go God's direction. I wanna live God's word in this situation. And or you're by standing, you're saying, I really want to grow in my love for God's word. If that's your desire, I just want you to stand, and then I'm going to close in prayer specifically for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for each one of you that has stood to your feet this morning. Friends, don't let anything interrupt that desire and the follow through on that desire. Don't let the busyness of life get in the way. Don't let the curveball challenges that Satan himself might throw your way to interrupt this desire. Love and live God's word. It's what I want too. And I pray for you today. God, thank you for this opportunity that we've had to interact with one another on this fantastic psalm that you've left for us that shows us so much in such a few verses, shows us so much about what life can be like lived in harmony with you and with your word. And God, you know why specifically each person stood to their feet. And you know the end from the beginning in their life. And I pray in this moment of commitment for them, as they have just been transparent with the body here in standing, I pray you would honor that heart's desire that they have. I pray, oh God, that most of all, you see the commitment. And you, by your Spirit, will enable them to follow through. To spend that time, if it's a challenge in spending time with your word, that they would lean on your Spirit, and your Spirit would help them, and they would have the discipline and make the choice each day to carve out time for the intake of your precious word into their hearts and minds, God. And where there's decisions that need to be made, and there's really two ways to make it, one that isn't so honoring to you, but one that is, may you give them the courage to make the choice that would be in line with your word, oh God. I pray for each one today that has stood to their feet. May they go from here knowing that they've got the resource of the creator of the universe to depend on, and that would give them hope and excitement about the next step spiritually for them. For this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I encourage you to feel free to hang around the tables. You can grab another coffee and spend some time visiting. Find somebody. If you haven't met someone that you haven't met before, do that before you leave and have an awesome rest of the day. God bless you.